So the title of my message today is Position Yourself to Believe and Receive by Faith. Amen. And we all know that faith is believing in the Word of God. So we need to believe, position ourselves to believe in God's Word and just receive His love. And know that through His love, through the righteousness that He's placed on us already, because we are all believers in this platform, know that when you were saved, that salvation came into your life, when you were redeemed from the Lord, amen, you were also, hallelujah, healed. Healing became available to you just in the same way that salvation was made available to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want to begin. We're going to go through a number of scriptures today. And I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. And we are going to begin in verse 35. Let me know when you're there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 18, verse 35. And here in this, we are going to be talking, this is found in the Gospel of Matthew, also is found in the Gospel of Mark, and they'll have same story. It's just the way they viewed the story. But I like the version from the Gospel of Luke. So we're going to begin in 1835, and this is what it says. Then it happened, as he, talking about the Lord Jesus, was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth, son of, was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, when did it happen? Immediately. He received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. Amen?
Amen.
So here we have a story of a blind man, and his name is Bartimaeus in the other Gospels. This is a blind man, hallelujah, that when he heard that there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth passing by, he already had heard that this man was doing wonders and cleansing the lepers. He's on the streets. He's hearing people passing by. Did you see this happen? Did you see the deliverance of that one? Did you see that this man, Jesus, cast out this demon from a man or from a little boy or whatever? There was a lot of talk around. He was blind. He couldn't see, but he could hear. He could hear. He lived on the street. He was blinded. Amen. So here we have him calling out, Son of David. So he knows that this Jesus of Nazareth, he knew that he was the Messiah, that he was in the Son of David, hallelujah, that he was part of that genealogy, that generation, hallelujah, because the book, the Old Testament and the prophets spoke about the coming Messiah and that he would come from the seed of David. So he knew there was a covenant. God had covenant with Jesus. He knew. And this is why he was so judged. He cried even louder. Even the people around him said, yo, silence yourself. Be quiet. Shut up already. But he cried even louder. And he raised his voice and his tone of voice even louder. But look what the Lord Jesus asked him. He says, what do you want me to do for you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you believe, do you think that the Lord knew what he needed?
Absolutely.
Of course he did. But sometimes we need to speak with our own voice out loud those things that we want. Amen. And confess those things that we want. We need to speak them out. The word of God says that life and death are in the power of your tongue. We got to speak out life. He wanted life. He knew that Jesus can turn his life around. So here we have the Lord asking, what do you want me to do for you? Amen. And when he answered, he says, Lord, I want to see. I want my sight back. The word of God says that his faith, because he believed, amen, he received by faith his sight. Amen. It's about believing God, believing the word, believing the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we position ourselves, and this blind man positioned himself to receive by faith his sight. Because he knew that this Messiah, this Jesus, would be able to perform that and do this miracle in his life. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. And I told you before that today I am a mouthpiece for the Lord. And God is saying to you today, what do you want me to do for you?
Amen.
And I want you to ponder on this question. And if you have a pen, write down the answer to this question. Write down, what is it that you want the Lord to do for you today? Because all you got to do today, church, is be in the position of believing and receiving that which God wants to do for you. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. All you got to do is believe and be in the position to receive by faith. By faith. Nothing else. By faith. And what is faith? Is faith is having the hope of things that you cannot see yet, but you know that you already have it. It's already done in the name of Jesus. It's done. Whatever it is that you want the Lord to do for you, it's done already. You just gotta see it. See it with your spiritual eyes. That is done already in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's go now to I wanna go through another story. Let's go to Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 9. And let's start in verse 14. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Thank you, Lord. 9:14. Look at what it says. Am I the right one? Mark 9:14.
Thank you, Jesus. No, this is not it. Mm-mm-mm. Night 14. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What's going on here? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mark 9, 14.
Amen.
I'm in chapter 10. Hallelujah. That's why. I apologize. I was in chapter 10. I don't know why. But anyway. 14. Mark 9, 14. Mark 9, 14. I was in chapter 10 by mistake. Amen. But we're here. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude. Again, talking about the Lord Jesus. When you see a capital H, if you have it in your Bible, it's the Lord referring to Jesus. He saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit," meaning a spirit that convulses, a spirit that foams from the mouth, amen? And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they could cast it out, but they could not. Are you listening? The disciples could not. He answered him and said, "Oh, faithless generation." This is the Lord Jesus speaking. "Oh, faithless generation." Again, the word faith is in there. Amen. "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." If you can believe, this is the Lord speaking. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, when did it happen, church? The father of the child cried out and said with his tears, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief." Amen. How many of us have been there before? "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Right? Amen. Listen to this. There is a large crowd around them. They're arguing. They're discussing. They're commenting with one another. The Lord is like, "What's going on here?" And one of the father, he comes out and says to the Lord, I brought my son. He's been oppressed by a demonic spirit. I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't heal him. They couldn't cast out that demon from him. What's going on here? And the Lord Jesus is like, "Oh my God, faithless generation, I'm with you. Where's your faith at?" Amen. Hallelujah. And look at the story. Amen. And it's describing what happens to the little boy. Amen. When the spirit is just oppressing him, possessing him. Amen. I mean, he gets thrown on the floor. He begins to foam at the mouth and everything else. And the Lord said, "You know, if you believe, then all things that are impossible in your eyes will be possible with me by faith." And the Lord The father said, very simple, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Why? Because unbelief is a negative force and will hinder. Listen to this. Unbelief is a negative force that will hinder and nullify our faith. The minute faith comes against unbelief, guess what? It hinders your belief. Unbelief and faith cannot mix. Just like oil and vinegar, they gotta be separate. They cannot mix. Amen? Because unbelief will cancel out your faith in God, will cancel out what God wants to do in your life, will cancel out everything, dreams, your goals. Everything that you stand for in God, it will cancel it out. Amen? Unbelief is a powerful force, but the Holy Spirit and God is even greater than that. Amen. And today we have dominion. We got the Spirit of the Lord living in the inside of us. And many of us need to begin to say no to unbelief. And we're going to break down unbelief in a little bit. Amen. But I want you to turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. And let's go to verse 56. Mark 6:56 says, wherever he entered, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him, the Lord, were made well. In other words, as many as believed in the Lord Jesus were all healed. They were all made well. Amen. And I tell you that, you know, we're going to get there. When we read in scripture, amen, and people say, yeah, but God doesn't heal all. Oh, no, he heals all. The reason why he couldn't heal all, because it was due to unbelief. It wasn't God. God wants all of us well. See, healing is already ours. It is our legal right. When we became saved, we were healed at that very moment. We became what Jesus became for us. Jesus is healer. He's healing. Amen. So here, you know, we're saying here, as many. So all that touched the Lord because of their belief, they were totally healed immediately. They were all made well. Amen. And I wish I could show you this illustration, but I'm gonna ask you to use your imagination, okay? Use your imagination, because at the retreat, I made an illustration. So I want you to use your imagination. Amen. And we read before, you know, we know that there's a verse that says that to speak to the mountain, right? And when you speak to the mountain because of the faith you have, that mountain has to move in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. You see, God already did everything that he had to do. I've heard Christians say, well, God will move the mountain. No, God is not going to move no mountain, because he already took care of the sacrificial life of Jesus. His only begotten son was sacrificed for us, became the lamb for us. So God already did what he needed to do. But now it's up to us, amen, to in word, with our belief, with our faith, to move that mountain. And the word of God says that if you have a faith as small as a mustard seed are tiny, tiny seeds. That if you have faith as small as a mustard seed and you tell that mountain to go, it's got to go. And that mountain can be financial hardship. It can be a sickness. It could be anything. What is your mountain?
Like again, I said before, the Lord is asking, what would you want me to do for you? So what is that mountain that needs to be removed? What is that mountain that is hindering you? What is it? Amen. So here an illustration, think, you know, and I'm going to use the same illustration more or less, but visualize a pulpit, and we can all visualize a pulpit. Amen. Visualize a pulpit. Amen. And on your right side of the pulpit, I guess, okay, if you're looking at the pulpit on your left side, make believe that there is a preacher preaching the word, a preacher standing on the side, just like family, you know what? Just like Family Feud, right? You got a man on the left and a man on the right, right? And there, thank you, Lord. Just like family, you got a man on the left and a man on the right. Believe that the man on the left is faith. And the pulpit is the mountain that you need to move. Now envision faith, that person moving the pulpit, and they're moving the mountain, right? They're moving the pulpit. They can move it. They got faith. It's moving the pulpit. But now you got unbelief coming in on the other side, and now they're pushing against the pulpit, against the mountain. So what happens? Church, what happens when faith gets pushed in and unbelief gets pushed in? Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Does that mean that faith was gone? That the person had no faith? No, the person still had faith. Amen. But when unbelief comes and pushes against that mountain, when faith is also pushing against that mountain, nothing happens. Doesn't mean that you lost your faith. It just means that you allowed unbelief to enter, and now it nullifies, it hinders, and it cancels your faith, and God can do nothing. Listen to me. God can do nothing. It's not up to him. He already provided healing. It was provided over 2,000 years ago. Now it's up to you to remove unbelief from your life. And we're going to talk about that. Amen. So here in these stories, right, the father has faith. The father of this little boy has faith to believe. He has faith as small as a mustard seed. Amen. So he had a positive force. He had faith. If he didn't have faith, he wouldn't have gone to Jesus. He wouldn't have gone to the disciples. But then when unbelief entered, amen. He was very honest with the Lord. He said, oh man, I see my boy on the floor. You know, I see my boy on the floor. And that's why he said, but Lord, help my unbelief. Like right now is my unbelief is being shaken right now. Amen. And the Lord immediately healed the boy. Amen. And I want to talk to you before I go to the third story. I want to talk to you right now about three types of unbelief. Three types of unbelief that will hinder, nullify, and cancel out your faith. Remember, our walk is by faith, not by sight. Amen. And the first one is your five senses. Your five senses. There are three types of unbelief. You got five senses, you got false doctrine, and you have offense. And we're going to break down each and every one of them. First one, five senses. Your five senses depend on your natural faith, what you see, what you taste, what you hear, what you smell, or what you feel. Those are your five senses. And unbelief comes because we are connected with our natural five senses than the ones that we should be operating in, which is the spiritual realm. We're no longer, let me tell you, we are spiritual beings. God is a spiritual being. Amen. We have to operate in the spiritual realm. We cannot allow our natural senses, hallelujah, to dictate to us
how we need to run our life, because it is a type of unbelief. Amen. And I want you to turn, we're going to see it now in scripture. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 17, the Gospel of Matthew. Are you with me today? Amen. Are you getting something so far? Amen. We're just putting a topping right now. We're not even, we haven't even tasted it yet. We haven't even tasted the word of God yet. Amen. Matthew 17, verse 19. Remember, the disciples could not heal the little boy, right? Look at what it says. After the Lord rebuked the demon out of the child. In 19, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Why could we not cast out that demonic spirit? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Verse 21 says, however, this kind does not go except by prayer and fasting. I want you to really, really look at these verses. Amen. The disciples, I said before, they were, God had given them the authority to cast out demons, the power. They had the power to cast out demons. They walked with the Lord Jesus. Amen. They were healing the sick. They were cleansing the lepers. Healing was taking place. But when it came to this little boy, amen, they had unbelief. Even the Lord said it, because of your unbelief. And you know what happened? That when that little boy started convulsing and got into the foaming of the mouth, amen, this is where their five senses kicked in. They began to use their sight. And they witnessed this little boy, and they must have said to themselves, oh, whoa, 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 there's no way we can do this. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because the Lord is very clear. He says, because of your unbelief, you couldn't do it. Amen? And unbelief comes because we're more connected with our natural five senses than we are with our operating spiritual realm. Listen, we operate in the spiritual realm. We have the Holy Spirit, the power that gets released when we speak the word of God. It is a spiritual power that the Lord has given us, because it is his word, not our word. Amen? Amen. It's his word. So when the Lord is operating through us, it is operating in the spiritual realm. But when we begin to operate with our five senses, our sight, our taste, what we hear, what we smell, and what we feel, unbelief comes in to settle in us. Yes. And when it happens, God cannot operate that way. He doesn't operate in the natural. Amen?
Amen.
So here in verse 21, however, this kind does not go except by prayer and fasting. What does the Lord Jesus mean by when he says this kind? Well, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of preachers, and I've heard it myself, and I've probably spoken it in the past myself. They said, well, this kind or this type of demonic spirit does not go except by prayer and fasting. And I'm here to reveal to you that is incorrect. What the Lord is referring to here, that this kind or this type of unbelief cannot go except by prayer and fasting. And what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is calling those things that are not as if they are. Prayer is believing in the word of God, that believing that what seems impossible with the eye will be possible in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And what is fasting? Fasting is getting rid of all distractions so that you can concentrate and really dig into the word of God and allow the Lord to talk to you, to minister to you. Amen. Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing from the Lord. Hearing from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So here we have the first type of unbelief is through your five senses. That's why the disciples could not deliver that little boy from this demonic spirit. It wasn't because of the size of the demonic spirit, because God already defeated Satan and all his demonic friends. Amen. Hallelujah. No, God is powerful. Amen. It wasn't demonic. It was your sight. It was their sight that brought unbelief into that situation at that time. And when faith and unbelief come together, nothing happens. So they couldn't heal this little boy. They couldn't cast out that spirit. Another type of unbelief is false doctrine. False doctrine. What are you believing? What are you believing about God? Well, many people are claiming and claim today that God placed sickness on me. No, God did not place sickness on you. God does not do that. God is a good God. It is the enemy that places sickness on you. And if we want to get really real, sometimes we ourselves provoke sickness in our bodies. Come on now. I know I'm talking to somebody. So when you have false doctrine, you will not receive healing. Because it is a type of unbelief. Faith and unbelief cannot be in the same place. Never. You hear me? Never. False doctrine. Well, God doesn't heal all. Well, let me show you, and we're going to go through three scriptures right now, but there's at least 14 to 17 times in the Gospels, right? That it says that Jesus healed them all. Jesus healed them all. And in the Greek, the word all means all. Every single person that the Lord Jesus touched was healed because they came to him by faith. And we hear it over and over. Your faith has made you well. Receive your sight because of your faith. Amen. And here in Matthew 15:30, we can go there. Let's go to scripture. Amen. Matthew 15:30. It says, then a great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Meaning that he healed all that came to him. Luke 4:40. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke 4:40. And it says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, meaning the Lord Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. God heals them all. Matthew 8:16. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him, the Lord Jesus, many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word. All he did was speak a word and healed all who were sick. The Lord healed all. You know, false doctrine is a type of unbelief, and it will sever you. It will stop you from receiving that which God already conquered at the cross.
Amen.
for you. You know another false doctrine? I'm going to share with you another false doctrine. Many people believe that the gospel is a prosperity gospel. No, it is not a prosperity gospel. The gospel speaks about wealth. It speaks about prosperity, but it's not a prosperity gospel. Because the word of God says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers." Amen. It is a gospel that shares with the saints about wealth, about obtaining wealth. And God says in his words that he will bless the works of your hands. Why does God want to bless the works of your hands? Because he says it is more blessed to receive, to give than to receive. Because he wants you to have an overflow of prosperity. So not only are you going to bless yourself and your family, but God is looking for you to bless others. The gospel is a gospel that teaches you how to store your money and to store your money well so that you can walk not just in divine health, but in divine wealth.
Yes.
Because the Lord Jesus became poor so that we can be rich today and rich in many areas of our life, not just finances. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but the Lord said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." And that is in every area of your life, and that includes finances. But we don't preach a prosperity gospel.
No.
The gospel speaks about prosperity. This is not a prosperity gospel. That is false doctrine. And as long as you believe that this is what we're preaching, you will not come into the divine wealth of God, because you have unbelief, and God cannot work with unbelief. Amen. But if you begin to sow seeds and plant generous seeds, whether they're finances, of time, whatever it is, God will prosper that, because he says, "I will prosper the work of your hands." Amen. So we serve a God that is involved in every area of our life. The third type of unbelief is offense. Offense. Are you hearing me? The third type of unbelief is offense. Offense, it is a perceived insult. It is a disregard of your feelings. So if you've been offended, praise the Lord. Why? Because Jesus was offended too. And the Lord Jesus says, if they offend me, they're going to offend you. So don't take it. Let it go. Don't sweat the small stuff. Let it go. Release the offender from your life. Let it go. Why? Because it is a type of unbelief. It will hinder that which God wants to do in your life. Especially if you've been declaring the word of God over your body, over sickness, infirmities, offense. It's a type of unbelief that will stop your healing, hallelujah, from being manifested already with your natural eyes. You will be in bondage. You will remain sick because you have unbelief. And when you put unbelief against your faith, nothing happens. So we need to let go of the offenses. Let go. Do not be offended by anyone. Because people's unbelief will hinder what Jesus is trying to perform. And the Lord wants to do miracles. The Lord wants to do signs. The Lord wants to do wonders in your life and your family. Unbelief will hinder. It hindered the Lord. It hindered the people from getting healed. Look at the story. Let's go to the story, because there's so much to, unbelief. You know what? You know that unbelief leads to transgressions? You know that offense
a particle of offense is anger, pride, judgment. Amen. These are all part of offenses. And these are all types of unbelief. An offense can turn into a transgression, into sin. You know that it's okay to be angry, but if anger causes you to sin, that's not good. Amen. But let's go to the story here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Let's go to verse 57. Matthew 13:57. And here we have Jesus, you know, he just finished speaking a parable to the disciples. You know, Pharisees were there, Sadducees were there. There were people present, right? And in verse 57, it says, so they were offended at him. They were offended by the words that the Lord was speaking. The Lord Jesus was speaking truth. He was teaching them a parable. He was teaching them. Amen. The truth of God. And they saw him and said, this is just a carpenter's son. How is it that he knows so much? And yet these Pharisees, these Sadducees, they knew the law, right? They read scripture. They knew the Torah. Amen. They knew the word well. Amen. So in 57, say, so they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own home. Now he did not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. See, offense is a type of unbelief, and he couldn't do much. Remember, these Pharisees, they didn't believe in the Lord Jesus. They didn't believe in anything. Except we can say Nicodemus, right? Nicodemus, right? Met him, you know, in secret, right? Hallelujah. But we see here that, listen, even the Lord said, if they offended you, they're going to offend me. Yeah, if they offended me, they're going to offend you. Listen, we've all been offended. We've all been offended because of our walk with Jesus Christ. And it's not going to stop. It's going to continue. But what are you going to do with that offense? Are you going to harbor on the offense and let it spread like let it be like a domino effect? Exactly. You're going to let it spread? No, we got to get rid of offense right away. If somebody insults you, criticizes you, judges you, listen, just know there's pride involved in there. There's pride. There's sin in their life. Amen. There's pride. Because a lot of people that offend others, they think they're up here and they want to make you feel that you're lower, that you're like this little peon. But man, we are rich in Christ. We are so rich in Christ. Amen. And if the Lord forgave us, how can we not forgive others? So we need to forgive and let go quickly, because offense is a type of unbelief that will stop you, amen, from receiving that which God wants to do in your life. Amen. Yep. Really take this word to heart. Amen. Take this word to heart. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Mark chapter 8. And let's go to verse 22. Mark 8:22. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Hallelujah. This morning for your word. Let's go to Mark 8 and let's go to verse 22. And this is what it says. It says, then he, again, talking about the Lord Jesus, came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man. Listen to this. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything.
And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. But what I want you to see in these verses, not only we know God healed this blind man, we know that, but look at what it says in verse 23, that he took this blind man by the hand and removed him out of the town. Why do you think that God took this blind man and took him out of the town? Because that town was full of unbelief. And God couldn't do much, because what happens if there are unbelievers around you, amen, iron sharpens iron, right? Tell me who you're with and I'll tell you who you are. We can get very easily influenced by other unbelievers. If we start hanging out with other unbelievers, we can get very easily influenced. The Lord had to take him from the hand and pull them out. Amen. Because there was unbelief around him. And when he did that, the man's sight came back. He was fully healed. Amen. And sometimes, church, you need to have a circle of friends. A circle of friends that will believe the way you believe. Amen. The Lord Jesus had Peter, James, and John. That was his circle. That was his tight-knit circle. Amen. They went with him everywhere. Remember Jairus' daughter, that the people had told Jairus, don't bother the master. She's already dead. And the Lord looked at Jairus and said, look at me, just believe. Just believe. And what did he tell the father? Get everyone out of her room.
That's right.
And I just want the mom, your wife there, and Peter, James, and John with the Lord Jesus. And all he spoke was the word, rise up. And the girl was immediately resurrected. Amen. But the Lord, see this, the Lord had to remove unbelief. Church, you cannot be asked for prayer with unbelievers. You gotta know who your circle is. If you need prayer, you need to seek those that believe the word of God, that believe and walk by faith. And the word of God says that by their fruit, you will know them.
Right.
You need to have a circle of friends. It's so important for you to have a circle. I have a circle of friends in New York. I have a circle of friends in Texas. I have a circle of friends in Florida. Constantly speaking into my life, constantly edifying me, constantly encouraging me, constantly telling me, we're praying for you, I'm praying for you, lifting me up, and I know their fruit. Amen. I know that it's genuine. I know that they are believers. I know that they walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And a lot of us, what's happening today, that you do not have a faith problem, you have an unbelief challenge.
Amen.
You have an unbelief challenge. And I'm here to tell you, here's God speaking, you need to get rid of all unbelief. All of the unbelief that may be harboring inside of you, that may be harboring your mind. This is why the word says, renew your mind. Do not be conformed to the world. We're no longer of the world. We are of the kingdom of glory. Amen. But renew your mind by the word of God.
Amen.
You see, godly faith believes in the things that we have not seen yet. We know it's already there. That's why if we have COVID, right? We were diagnosed with COVID. Even though we have symptoms, you got to declare, I'm healed. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. I thank you that I walk in my perfect healing, that I walk in divine health.
I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what I see in my body. You got to confess and believe the word of God and declare it. Confess it, believe it, so you can receive all that God has for you. God already did that at the cross over 2,000 years ago. He took care, full care of your healing. By his stripes, you were healed. It's a done deal already, but you got to believe it. And how do you believe it? Speak it out. Speak it out. Thank God for it. We don't need to pray for healing. No, we need to declare that we're already healed. We don't need to pray for something we already have. We're already healed. It took place over 2,000 years ago. Don't pray for something you already have access to. No. You got to declare the word. Confess the word. Amen?
Amen.
And how does faith come? I want to give you another nugget here. How does faith come? Amen. And I'm going to tell you, no, it does not.
Okay.
I want you to turn to the book of Matthew 4:4. I'm going to give you more here. Amen. Hallelujah. Stay with me, church. Stay with me. There's revelation. Stay with me. Matthew 4:4. Remember when the Lord Jesus was water baptized by John the Baptist. And he went into the wilderness, and Satan came against him and tempted him. And the Lord was hungry. Remember, he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Remember, the Lord was hungry. And Satan came to tempt him. Amen. And in Matthew 4:3, it says, now the tempter came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread, right? That these stones become food, right? Doesn't the Lord give us our daily bread? He gives us our daily food for nourishment. He nourishes our spirit with his word, right? Look at what 4:4 says. But the Lord Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I ask you again, how does faith come? Faith comes not by just reading the word, but it comes by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, when you read the word of God, and unless you get a revelation, unless you get a rhema, spoken word of God, amen, faith will not enter. Because that's the difference between reading the word and believing what you're reading. Amen. You see, the Lord's saying here, men can't live on bread alone. You can't just live by having the word. It's not enough. You got to hear a rhema word from God, a spoken word of God. You got to hear the whisper of the Lord. You got to hear his voice. And that's how faith comes. Even the Lord Jesus spoke it in this verse. Amen. A rhema word, it is the Greek term for specific, divinely inspired, spoken word that comes from the mouth of God. And it gives an individual at a particular time or moment, guidance and comfort or direction. Amen. And I'm going to give you I'm going to give you a little story quickly. Amen. But you know, I have so many professors that have healing testimonies right now. Amen. But let's say one of them was diagnosed with cancer, and the doctor told him, "You're not going to make it through Christmas," and this and that. And this is Barry Bennett. You can watch his testimony online. Barry Bennett, he was diagnosed with cancer. And he's like, what? Are you kidding me? I minister healing to the people. I talk about healing, about that is, you know, it's part of our salvation. I'm a minister of the gospel. How can this be? You know, like I said, no, I am not receiving the doctor's report. No. Was he shaken? Yes, he was shaken, but he didn't allow that shakiness to move him. Amen. And he stood firm. I said, no, no, I am healed. God already provided this for me through his son, Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden, he heard a rhema word. He heard the Lord speak from his mouth. And he said to Barry, Barry, you are going to make it through this. Guess what that did to his faith? Guess what that did to his unbelief? Because unbelief was trying to shake him. One of his five senses, the hearing, right? He was listening to the doctor's report. Unbelief tried to shake him, but he stood firm. Amen. And when the word, a rhema, spoken word of God, proceeded out of the mouth of God and spoke directly to Barry and said, you're going to make it through this. Guess what? He made it through. Yes, he went through chemo, but God met him where his faith was. His faith was in chemo. God gave him the green light. He heard from the Lord, and he knew that he was going to be made whole. Because the word of God says that by his stripes, Jesus' stripes, we were made whole. He knew that he knew healing is mine. This sickness has to go. This cancer has been dissipated from my body. He knew that he knew. Why? Because he heard the word of God. So you see, faith comes by hearing, but by hearing from the mouth of God, from by hearing that spoken word of God. And this is why it's so important for us to be tuned in to the Lord, with the Lord. You got to hear his voice. When you read the word, it's just not enough to read the Bible, not enough to read the word. Allow the word to speak to you. Allow the God, don't allow distractions to enter in, because they will hinder what God is trying to tell you. When you go into a specific issue or problem, lean on the word of God. Touch the word of God. And Lord, speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what the Lord is saying. You see, the Lord Jesus, what he did, everything that the Lord Father God told him to do, he heard from God. All the miracles that happened because God the Father spoke to his son. And his son listened to him. Amen. Faith comes by hearing. So we got to talk to God. We got to listen. And then we have to obey and follow his voice. Let's go to Psalm 33:9. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 33:9. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. 33:9. Are we okay here? Because I do have more to give, and I just don't want to stop. If that's okay. Amen. God has more to pour into you today. Amen. Psalm 33:9. It says, for he spoke, talking about God, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The word of God, it was spoken. God spoke to creation into being. God spoke and there was light. Hallelujah. God spoke and man was created. God spoke and it was so. Amen. So when we speak the word of God, it is a done deal. When God speaks to us through his word, it is a done deal. You can bank on the word of God. You can bank on his voice. Amen. Because it is done. When the Lord Jesus said at the cross, it is finished, everything was accomplished at the cross. Salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, everything was accomplished at the cross. The Lord commanded and it stood firm. Amen. The Lord spoken and it was so. It is finished. And let me tell you something, that your spiritual position, right? Well, let's put it this way. Your physical condition will determine your spiritual position. I'm going to say that again. Your physical condition will determine your spiritual position. What are you positioning yourself in spiritually? Again, I tell you, we need to stand on faith. Our walk is by faith. It's not by sight. You know, in Romans 1:17, it says, the just shall live by faith. We are the ones that have been justified by God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we Christians, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. You got to see this. Amen. Hallelujah. Our walk is by faith. And that's it. Plain and simple. And we cannot allow unbelief to enter in, because it will cancel and nullify your faith. Cancel and do nothing. Nothing happens when you allow unbelief to enter in. Amen. Let's go to Luke, Gospel of Luke chapter 8. Let's go there quickly. Amen. I pray that you just hold on. You know, I told you to put on your seatbelts. Hold on, because God has to share. God wants to share this with you today. Amen. And then you can have your Sunday. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Luke 8, let's go to verse 43. Luke 8, verse 43. I really don't want this to be a two-part message. Amen. Luke 8, 43, 48. And I apologize now. Hallelujah. I hope you didn't come in a rush. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border or the hem of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden anymore, she came trembling and falling down before him, before the Lord. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said, the Lord said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Amen. Hallelujah. Do you see this? The Lord even says to her, "Your faith has made you well." Amen. The Lord is saying, said to the crowd and to the people, "Who touched me?" Because the Lord Jesus felt the power being released from his body when that woman touched the hem of his garment. And he knew. He says, "Somebody touched me and power has gone out of him." The healing power of God, the divine and the spiritual power and authority of God left his body and made that woman with the issue of blood freely and totally healed at that very moment. Amen. Listen, the woman knew that God had a healing power, had the healing, had healing authority over sickness, over demons, and all she had to do just touch him. Like the woman knew, like she went, she pressed on in the middle of crowds, like she persevered, like she knew that if she would touch the hem of the Lord's garment, she would be made whole. Amen. And she said, "I got to grab a hold of his hem. I got to go. I got to pursue what I know that I can receive from this man of God. And I know I'm going to be healed." And the woman, she acted on faith and she demonstrated faith to the Lord Jesus. Amen. And all she did was touch the tassel, the hem, the fringe of his garment. And that's all she needed to do to receive that, which God already wanted her to have. Amen. Because God wants us all well. Amen. But there is something about touching the hem of a garment. Go to Zechariah chapter 8. And that's right before Malachi, I believe, around towards the end of the Old Testament. is right before Malachi, Zechariah 8:23. Look at what it says. Hallelujah. So blessed by this. Amen. And it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp, meaning shall take a hold of the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Amen. Was God with the Lord Jesus? Absolutely. You see, so here what this verse is saying, that in those days, men that wore this Jewish garment, men that wore this garment that had tassels and sleeves, that meant that had power and authority in that nation. Amen. It symbolized, in the Old Testament, it symbolized authority to anyone who wore this particular garment. This is why the woman, when she went to the Lord Jesus, she's heard that he was going around healing people. She needed to grab a hold of that garment because she knew there was power, healing power, that would leave him and totally heal her body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, church, healing is not a thing. It's not an experience. Amen. Healing is not something that God does. Healing is who he is. The Lord Jesus, he is healing. He is a person, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Healing is Jesus. Amen. Let's turn. I'm almost done, church. Isaiah 53. Let's go to the book of Isaiah 53 when it was foretold about the Lord Jesus, about healing. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, talking about the coming Messiah. There was a prophecy. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Another word for that is, you can see it as sufferings, disease, sicknesses. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Present tense. Amen. This is a word from the Lord being prophesied, that divine healing, that the Lord was going to die, amen, that he was going to be taken to the slaughter, and by the stripes of his body, we were healed. We are healed today, amen. This is a prophetic word that came to pass. Hallelujah. This was in the old covenant, and this was a word that was looking forward to the cross. To the cross. And in 1 Peter 2:24. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who himself, talking about the Lord Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were, past tense, you were healed. So here we have the prophetic word of prophet Isaiah, and now we have Peter speaking that word of a prophecy that already came to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So church, you need to position yourself to believe what God is saying today. Believe what he's saying today and receive what has already been done by faith. Amen. By his stripes, we were healed in the name of Jesus. Let's go to Psalm 107. We're almost done. I got one more scripture after this. Hang with me. Amen. Hang with me. Psalm 107, 20. Let's go there. Psalm 107, 20 says, he sent his word. God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The Lord God sent his word. He spoke it into existence. It's already spoken. It was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He sent his word and he delivered all from their destruction. Amen. And I ask you again today, what do you want me to do for you? This is the Lord God speaking to you. What do you want me to do for you? Amen. What is it? Whatever it is, turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11. This is my last scripture. Amen. The book of Mark 11, and let's go to 24. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 24 says, therefore, I say to you, this is the Lord speaking, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, the Lord is saying to you, what do you want me to do for you? And the word of God is saying, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Amen?
Amen.
You have received because you have believed. Amen. We're unable to receive what we are unable to believe. Amen. You gotta believe. You cannot allow unbelief to come into this picture. So the Lord is saying to you, whatever it is that you wrote down on that paper, whatever it is, however it is that you answer that question, what do you want me to do for you? Know that if you believe throughout this teaching, know that you have received that which you have asked for, and God has answered your prayer. God has answered your desire. Amen. You have received because you believe, because I know we are believers of the word of God, and we will not allow unbelief to cancel out our faith.
Amen.
So, Lord, we believe, Lord. We believe, and I pray in the name of Jesus that if you heard the Lord's words being spoken today, that you position yourself to believe and receive by faith that which God wants you to have today.
Amen.
Right now, immediately today.
Yes.
God is not a God of tomorrow. He's a God of today. Today is the time. Today is the time of salvation. Today is your time. Grab hold of it, church. Grab hold of it. And walk in your full healing today, whether spiritual, physical, emotional, or mentally, you've been healed. You've been healed. By his stripes, you are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. And that's because it is your legal right to be healed. It is your legal right, just like salvation is. It is your legal right to walk in divine health. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your teaching, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you have illuminated us, Father God, that you have brought revelation. I pray, Lord God, that revelation came in to your people's hearts, to your people's mind, Father God, to receive, Lord God, to receive by faith that which you have, Lord God, which you have already provided for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, I just declare, Father God, this congregation, Lord God, I declare your word over them, Lord God, that by your stripes, by Jesus' stripes, they are healed, that they are walking in divine health, Lord God. Hallelujah. That no sickness, no infirmities, nothing can prosper against us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. So, Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, for this
for this message, for this teaching, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that we will take these scriptures, these Bible verses, and that we would begin to stand on them and meditate on them. And Father God, we thank you that it is already done. Lord Jesus, just like you said on the cross, it is finished. So Father God, we thank you. We seal this declaration. We seal your word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that whatever that answer was, when you spoke to them, Lord God, what do you want me to do for you? Lord God, that whatever it is that they desire, it's already done. It is already done. It's already taken care of, Lord God, by you, Lord God. It's already done in the mighty name of Jesus. So believe and receive that which God already has provided for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.